بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. سبحانه وتعالى that is increasingly leaving the lives of Muslims today is the command of the consumption of pure and halal. Several verses of Quran, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam draw our attention to this fundamental requirement that what we consume should be halal and pure, what we earn should be from pure and halal sources as well. And there are many warnings in the hadith as well for those who are not particular about this. The consumption of halal, respected friends and elders, is a ibadah. It should be considered a ibadah, an act of worship. It's an obligation. طلب كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفرائض. The hadith says, or كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that to seek halal sustenance is an obligation after other obligations. So like it is farz for us to read salah, like it is farz to fast, to give zakat, to go for hajj, and to carry out other obligations of deen, this is also one such obligation. But a point to note here in this hadith is after the other farais. It shouldn't be that a person, because of earning a livelihood, he is sacrificing the other commands of deen. No. So this is an obligation. It should be considered an act of ibadah. If a person's intention is correct, and the procedure, the method he is adopting is correct, he gets reward for his earnings. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with Sahaba, and a fellow Sahabi walked past, and mashallah, he had a very good, you know, built and physique. So the Sahaba that were seated there were amazed at this person's body and strength, mashallah. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, لو كان هذا في سبيل الله. If only this person used his potential in the path of Allah, meaning in jihad in that time. Because he's so strong, mashallah, looks to be such a brave person. He will be an asset to us on the battlefield. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned something so beautiful, which rectifies false notions in our minds. That firstly, fi sabilillah, yes, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Quran and Hadith is used a lot and primarily to refer to combat related fi sabilillah, related to jihad. But the term fi sabilillah, being in the path of Allah, on the road to Allah, is very broad. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells them, إن كان خرج يسعى على أولاده صغارا فهو في سبيل الله. If this person left the home to go and earn an honest livelihood for his young children and to feed them and bring them up, he is في سبيل الله. He is actually also in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن كان خرج يسعى على أبوين شيخين كبيرين. If he went out to earn, to support his elderly parents, an honest livelihood to support his elderly parents, فهو في سبيل الله. This man is also in the path of Allah. إن خرج يسعى إن كان خرج يسعى على نفسه يعفها. If he went out to earn a livelihood to save himself from haram, to save himself from begging, to save himself from stealing, etc. فهو في سبيل الله. Then this person is also in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, respected friends and elders, so beautiful is our deen that if a person goes even to earn a livelihood, something every one of us does, morning to evening, if the intention is correct and the procedure is correct, where we are earning from is correct, then we are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in kana kharaja, if he went out riya'an wa mufakharatan, just to earn so that he can show off, so that he can boast his wealth, then fahuwa fi sabili shaytan, this person is in a path of shaytan. There are only two parts, the path of Allah and the path of shaytan. Ulaika hizbullah, Allah speaks about in Quran. There is the group of Allah, the army of Allah, and ulaika hizbul shaytan. And so many verses of, in Quran and hadith we understand. There's only two. If a person is not on the path of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then automatically by default, he is now on the path of shaytan, meaning on the path of obedience of shaytan. استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. The Quran says, shaytan takes control of some people. فأنساهم ذكر الله, makes them oblivious of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes them forget Allah. أولئك حزب الشيطان. Allah says, that is the group of shaytan. When shaitan misleads a person, when shaitan takes control of a person, then he has now, it is a result of him being on the path of shaitan. So earning a livelihood, respected friends and elders, is an act of ibadah. And if the intention is correct, you are rewarded as if you are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I mentioned, to earn halal is the real challenge. Because consumption of halal is linked to every aspect of our life. Consumption of halal is an obligation, and together with that, it is linked to our ibadat. If a person's earnings and what he consumes is not halal, not pure, it affects his ibadah also. His ibadah is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, he doesn't get satisfaction from his ibadah as well. He doesn't get that joy and ecstasy that Allah has placed. It is our iman. Allah has placed great satisfaction in acts of ibadah and in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person is not experiencing this, then one cause, from a few causes ulama explain, is that what he consumed was not halal. Like that, it has a link, direct link to the other actions that we carry out. The behavior, our behavior pattern, respected friends and elders, the behavior of our children, the behavior of our wives, whom we are feeding this food to, is affected by the type of earnings. Similarly, our du'as in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are accepted or not, is also suspended on what we consume. So consumption of halal, respected friends and elders, it has far-reaching consequences, far-reaching benefits, and failure to do so has far-reaching consequences. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith mentions the link between consumption of halal and what happens to a person in this dunya and akhirat. I gave you a few effects in the world. In the akhirah, the hadith says that لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذية بالحرام, that body that was nourished with haram will not go Jannah. So in this dunya also, a person is suffering because of the ill effects of haram, whether it be in his ibadah, whether it be in the interaction with others, whether it be in the nature of his children and discord in the home. In akhirat also this person suffers. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. O mankind, eat from whatever is on earth as long as it's halal and tayyib. It is pure and wholesome. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. Together with the command of consumption of halal, Allah mentions abstention from the temptation of shaitan. This shows the direct link between what we eat and what we do. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Elsewhere Allah says, eat from that which is wholesome, that which is pure, and وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, and do good deeds. Again, showing us that there's a link between what you eat and what you do. That saying is true, that you are what you eat. In the Arabic language, when a person is doing wrong, he's bad, bad in his character, they refer to him as Ibnul Haram, the product of haram. That you are doing haram things because maybe you ate haram, you consumed haram. And Yabn al Halal, oh, the son of halal, the product of halal. Otherwise, you are supposed to be doing good things because your sustenance is halal. What you are eating is good, so you'll do good. Imam al Haramain, rahimahullah, was a senior alim of the Shafi'i madhab. He lived in Juwain, originally from Juwain, a place in current day Iran. And he was a very prolific orator, debater, and he would speak, mashallah, and he would be very convincing in his speech. One day in a particular debate, he wasn't as convincing, he stuttered, stammered. He wasn't his usual self. So the students later on approached the Shaykh and said, oh Shaykh, today we noticed something different. Why was it that today, you know, you weren't so sure, and you were stammering, stuttering? So Imam al-Haramain rahimahullah says, ma uraha illa athar al-massa. He says, I think this has been caused by that suckling. And then he explained himself. He says, when I was still a young child, infant, a suckling baby, one day in the home, I was hungry, I was crying. My mother was busy with the chores of the home. So our neighbor's slave girl was in the house. She then took me out of pity and put me on her breast, and I began to suckle. And a few moments later, my father came in the home and he saw this. So immediately he snatched me away And he reprimanded the people of the house and he said that this slave girl does not belong to us. She and her milk belong to the neighbors and we don't have permission. How can we allow our child to suckle her milk? And then my father turned me over and made me vomit it out. Imam al-Haramain rahimahullah says that today I see the effect of that. Years later, the effect of that one suckling of something that was considered maybe doubtful by his father. Let us analyze this, respected friends and elders. The neighbors generally, I mean, you have to be very, very mean to deprive a child, a crying child. So if the neighbors were asked, they would have not refused. It's something that is tolerated generally among people. But despite that, the father was so particular and made him vomit it out. But the remains that were there already in his belly, in his body, he says, today that has come out and affected. Imagine that child whose parents were not particular of where they earned from or what they bought and consumed. Sometimes our earnings are honest, halal. But what we are buying and consuming, respected friends and elders, we are not particular about. Colonel Amiruddin, rahimahullah, was a senior da'i and mujahid fi sabirillah from Canada. He had mentioned many years ago, he had mentioned, he says that in America, a pious muttaqi person, a person who is particular about what he is eating, this is to show us there's so much of contamination outside. He says even a person who's particular, in 1 year, he would end up eating one pig. Somebody who is particular, because there's so much and so much of this floating around, so much of contamination in the ingredients, etc., and in the processed foods, that unknowingly also you are consuming haram. That he said 20 years ago about that country. Today the entire dunya has become one commercialized village. Whatever products are there are here. Whatever fitna is there is here and at every shore of the world. I'm saying this for us to understand the seriousness. That if you are not particular, respected friends and elders, then yes, on one hand we made an earnest effort to earn from halal sources. But if what we are consuming, purchasing, buying, eating and giving our children is not from halal and we are not particular, then we have lost. Then our ibadat also will be affected. Then the behavior of our children also. Now imagine that child whose parents were not particular and he was given, the child was brought up with haram. What's going to be the behavior of that child? How is that child going to act in the home? How is he going to act in society? And like that, as I said, our spouses, ourselves, sometimes we don't realize if you look in our lives 10 years ago, what we were doing, and today how we have retrogressed, how we have degenerated as a society. One of the direct causes is failure of being particular on what we consume, respected friends and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith of Muslim Sharif mentioned the example after mentioning the command of eating and consuming halal. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about a man who was on a long journey. أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرْ And he was in a pitiful state. He was dusty, disheveled hair. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ Raising his hands to the sky, calling out to Allah, saying, يَا رَبِّي يَقُولُ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي So ulama explain that this hadith here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us this description of this person. He's got four qualities in him. Each one of them, if they were found individually, it's sufficient for his dua to be accepted. Number one, he was a musafir and on a long journey. Number two, he was looking in a pitiful state. And the hadith says, رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَر Same. There are many such persons who are dusty and disheveled, not so valued by people in their society. مَدْفُوعٌ عِنْدَ الْأَبْوَابِ They come to the doors, they are chased away. But in the court of Allah, when they make dua, Allah definitely answers. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ So this person was in the same condition. Then he raised his hands. A hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif mentions, when a person raises his hands in dua, Allah doesn't allow it to return empty. Allah definitely accepts the dua. And number four, he was using the call, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi in his dua. A hadith in Musnad Ahmad mentions a person who repeats Ya Rabbi four times in the dua, Allah definitely accepts that dua. So he had these four reasons for duas being accepted. Any one of these, if they were found individually, was sufficient. Here he had all four combined. Imagine how close to acceptance that dua ought to have been. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa mat'amuhu haram. But what he ate was some haram. Wa mashrabuhu haram. What he drank was haram or earned from haram. Wa malbasuhu haram. What he was wearing was earned from haram sources. Fa'anna yustajabula. Nabi sallam then says, fa'anna. How? However can his dua be accepted? In other words, on one hand, you may adopt the reasons for acceptance of dua. On one hand, a person may be doing a lot of good, but this fundamental requirement is missing. You can have every other ingredient, for example, in that pot of biryani you want to cook. But a person didn't put salt. Then how is it going to taste nice? He can then brag and say, you know, I bought the super grade when it came to the meat, and I bought the best of potatoes, and the rice was brought from this country, and the oil I used, you know, was organic, etc. All of that can be in place, but a fundamental ingredient is missing. Then there's no enjoyment there. It's incomplete. How is it going to taste nice? How is it going to go down the throat? So here also, respected friends and elders, a person in his own life may be doing a lot of good, and let it increase, inshallah. But if we're finding that despite all of this, there's no enjoyment in the ibadah, we find that there's this discord in the homes, we find that our du'as we're feeling are not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let us inspect, respected friends and elders. And this is such a worry and concern, not only for the breadwinner in the home. No, the women and children also have to be particular. This lesson should be taught to them, and they should be the ones reminding us as well. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions that in history, in the time of our pious predecessors, Imam Ghazali was in the 6th century. He passed away in the year 555 Hijri. 555 Hijri. Before his time, in other words. He says the people were such, when they would leave the home in the morning, their wives used to plead with them and implore them, اتقوا الله فينا. Fear Allah regarding us and regarding what you feed us. وَلَا تُطْعِمُونَ إِلَّا الْحَلَالِ. Give us only halal. فَإِنَّا نَصْبِرُ عَلَى الْجُوعِ. We can bear the pangs of hunger in this dunya. We can make sabr if you don't get food. وَلَا نَصْبِرُ عَلَى النَّارِ. But we will not be able to bear the fire of Jahannam. And the hadith says that flesh that is nourished with haram will go to Jahannam. فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. One hadith says, Jahannam deserves that kind of a body. So this worry and concern, respected friends, like we are worried about so many other things, this fundamental thing should be there in the homes. Take this message back home. Let us remind them. A lot of the time we were not particular from which, for example, takeaway or restaurant we ate from. Sometimes whether it be certain type of sweets or bubble gums. Sometimes it's some other item. We were not so particular. We can still make a change. We can still make tawbah. Allah has blessed us with life, respected friends and elders. We are still alive. This is a great ni'mat of Allah. Use it to make a change in our lives. One person once complained to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, "Oh Imam, why is it that in our du'as, we don't cry, our hearts are not soft, we don't find that feeling and spirit of du'a in us?" Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentions, it's because your heart has become hard because of consumption of haram. The heart becomes hard. What happens when the heart is hard, respected friends and elders? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the spiritual malady in Quran several times. The hadith also warns us against the hardness of the heart. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, Allah says. Their hearts became hard. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. In that verse also Allah speaks about the malady of the hardness of the heart. What happens when the heart is hard? When the heart is hard, nothing penetrates inside. Allah says it becomes like stone, or even harder than stone. Nothing goes inside. In other words, he will hear a lot of bayans. And there'll be so much of Islamic information, encouragements, warnings, floating around in society, on social media, in the print media, on websites, etc. You will hear it all, we will read it all, but it's not going into the heart. It's not penetrating, not making that, not having that effect, respected friends and elders. It's the same words of Allah and His Messenger that was a means of hidayat for millions of people throughout history. Same Quran, same hadith, the same ibadat, same salat, the same fast, the same hajj, the same baytullah we are making tawaf of. But the effect today is not going in. And in that zamana, But in our own lives we saw, in our own lives, growing up, when a person would go for Hajj and come back, there will be a complete change in his life. Complete, you would recognize that this person maybe went for Hajj. Completely. Today people are going and coming and going, and Allah take us all inshallah for Hajj of Baytullah and Umrah over and over again, and Allah accept, and Allah put the effect also. When the heart becomes hard, respected friends and elders, then what happens? We will hear it all, we will see it all, it will make no difference. We will see so much of suffering around us in the dunya. Perhaps there was no other time. Let's comment on our own lives. We were not there in history. In our own lives, some of us 30, 40, 50, 60 years, have we ever seen such suffering of the Muslim Ummah? Have we ever seen such disaster around the globe? Have we ever seen such catastrophes? So much is happening, so much is being shown to us. Have we ever witnessed so much of bayans and programs, and so much of ulama, and so much of jamaats, so much of effort of deen taking place? But are we progressing? Is it making a difference on us, on me, myself? Definitely there are people who are getting affected. But I should look in my life. Why is it that my heart has become so hard, that this is not penetrating? It's not going in. And when I do these acts of ibadah, is it being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I experience that satisfaction from my ibadah? Ulama explained that in Dioban, there used to be one woodcutter. And he was a person who earned a very, you know, honest livelihood. Very hard-working person. And he used to save, put money aside the entire year so that he can give a da'wah. Once a year, he used to invite the ustads and the teachers of Darul Ulum Dioband to come and have a meal. They say that they used to wait for that meal. They used to wait. Why? Not because it was very lavish. Wallahu alam, what was the condition of the Dastar Khan. But the effect that they used to feel thereafter, up to 40 days, they could feel a different kayfiyat, nuraniyat and spirituality in their ibadah. The effect of eating and consuming pure halal. So this, respected friends and elders, is a fundamental requirement. But what happens? Because of greed, because of hubbud dunya, because of love for competition, because of these spiritual maladies in our hearts, our focus changes. Instead of it being to earn an honest and halal livelihood, now it's something else. Like the hadith I mentioned at the beginning, that when a person goes out just to boast, just to compete with the next man, to show that he went on a particular holiday, I can do it. That's the current fitna. Before, people used to go for a break once a year. Sometimes even less, once in 2 years maybe. Then it increased twice a year, thrice a year, four times a year. And each one is competing to outdo the other, depending on the level he is on in society. Whether it be local holidays, whether it be overseas holidays. It started maybe with the weddings, competing with each other in weddings and showing your wealth. And thereafter in the homes, and then in the clothing, and then the cars. And now the overseas trips, and there's no stop. There's no stopping, respected friends and others. If that is my motto now, then whatever happens in between is not going to concern me. All I want is that. That's my goal, to be able to flex my muscles, my financial muscle. Then a man will not worry. He will not bother. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so merciful. So merciful to mankind. He mentioned to us what was needed for our salvation in this dunya and akhirah. And he forewarned us also of certain maladies, certain conditions that will come upon the ummah, so that we may take heed and desist, protect ourselves. يأتي على الناس زمان أحاديث بخاري شريف سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه says that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said a time will come on mankind لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ منه. A man will not be bothered of where he earns his money from. He will not be concerned as to how it comes. The source of his income will not concern him. All that will concern him is the figure. Inflation of the figures, reaching that ultimate goal. لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ منه أمن الحلال أم من الحرام. Whether what he is getting is from halal or from haram, that will not concern him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, respected friends and elders. But day by day this is becoming a reality. Day by day it's becoming a reality. Let us reset our focus. We are here to build our akhirah. We are here as servants of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are here to ensure that we build our akhirah. And a fundamental requirement is that we check our earnings, where we are earning from. Whether it be our direct jobs, or whether it be some kind of investment. A lot of the time people are loaning money among each other without really following the proper rules. Whether it is by earning interest with funds that we have in the bank. And thereafter, what we consume, respected friends and elders, what we are buying and purchasing and physically putting into our bellies and feeding our wives and children. Let us have a look at this, respected friends and elders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding the seriousness and the importance of this injunction of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.